I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Because people will come to me with this idea of what they want, right? Which we all start with an idea of what we want in anything, right? And, you know, then you got to start connecting that person with the idea with the right place, the right time, the right people. Right? You got to connect them to vendors and the destination and where it's all going to happen, where this magic is going to be birthed, right? And you kind of guide them through this process of like sending the right messages and, you know, visualizing this entire experience before it's even something you can touch, you know? So I went through guiding each and every client through this process that I believe, you know, we as humans that, you know, work within the law of attraction, with the universe, it's the same process, you know, it's getting clear, it's knowing what you want, it's surrendering, you know, it's problem solving all the events that fall in your lap, right? Good and bad, and experiencing magic, you know?
How you dare? That was the voice of Jenny Chang, and this has got to be one of my favorite episodes to date. And you'll hear why. I mean, the energy was just palpable. We were vibing off each other, and we were just in the element of understanding what can happen when you are in the flow. And when you're in the flow, you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do, right? You're not letting the world determine who you are. You are determining who you are to the world. And her path, as you see, is one where she had to learn that. And once she learned that, she became so unapologetic. And that is my wish for many of you, and all of you actually. Be unapologetic about who you are. Hopefully, who you are is adding value to the world. But that idea, that beautiful alchemy that comes when you discover who you are, whew. Look at me. I'm ready to go into that place. I'm so excited. But I don't even want to say anything else. I just want you to listen to the episode, check it out, and you know what to do. Leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcast. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today I have an energetic, amazing guest. Her name is Jenny Chang. Now, some of you might know Jenny Chang as JC. But she's an entrepreneur to multiple experiential firms, a mind and soul set podcaster, coach, an intuitive writer, and a growing influencer on TikTok and beyond. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you. That was grand entrance. Hey, where's the champagne? I'm about that. Thank you,
Tyler. Just pop the champagne right there. All right. You gotta let us in. How did you, get into this? You know, because if I'm looking at my life when I was young, I didn't quite know if I would end up here, but I knew that I wanted to be doing what I'm doing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Right. But right. What about you? How did you break through those traditional roles that society usually ascribes to us and decide that this is the path you wanted to take?
Yeah. No, I love that. I love this question specifically, Tayo, because it helps me really navigate myself to take us back to the beginning, which I believe is a very important space for a lot of us entrepreneurs and creators to go back to, right? Specifically when we are willing to, applaud ourselves for the journey, not just the outcomes, right? So I was 19 when I first started my business. I started a company called Rockin' Events, and it's It's basically an experiential firm. We expanded out to San Francisco and New York, and we were just producing a lot of great events. You know, we got into luxury weddings, we got into corporate events, we got into tech events, you know, a lot of gaming events. I mean, there was really no limit on what it is that we produced. And so I, you know, starting the company, I think more interestingly enough that I feel like a lot of people don't know is that I didn't have previous experience as a business owner. I didn't have a bachelor's in business and marketing and pretty much anything. I had an associate's degree in visual communication that really just kind of taught me how to plan and do some space planning and design. But other than that, I just kind of had this fascination of being able to manifest experiences, you know? Yeah. And one of the biggest, I would say, hungers to really kind of get this off the floor was this passion of mine that revolves around experiential marketing, which is in essence event marketing, right? You know, we live in such a digitally inclined world, right? And so going back to the beginning, to when it all began for all of us, you know, event marketing is essentially us being together, right? Us sitting around the campfire, telling stories, sharing memories, you know, building relationships, you know, making connections, right? And so, and that will never go away, right? And obviously today, that's the one thing that we're suppressed of and that we miss the most is just being together again, whether that's for a simple networking event or not. So I love gathering people together and I love taking someone's idea and I love creating life into that. And so I started a business that revolved heavily around those experiences. And I kind of just got obsessed, you know, Taya, like, you know, like entrepreneurs and creators, we get obsessed with creating, you know?
Yeah.
Like once we create something, we get obsessed with creating it, you know? And so, or at least teaching others how to create, right? And so I started a couple other companies, Rockin' University, that helped me really build other future event planners and producers from ground up level. I started an app that's basically the Uber of wedding planning. And I kind of just, you know, continue to create from there. And as far as like the pivot, right? I think what's really important is to understand that, like, you know, I'm only 1 year old when it comes to the influential market, you know, and being an influencer. But 12 years old, you know, in terms of being an entrepreneur. And so, I don't know, man, I feel like going into this new world where I had to pivot, you know, to really save my companies, I activated the survival instinct in me to really put myself on the map, you know, and not hide behind the companies and just keep building scientifically. Instead, I decided once this is all up and running again, I got to market it and I'm going to market it with my voice, post you a couple, you know. So that's kind of just, yeah.
Okay. So Jenny, I have a few questions because you said something that I really thought was important. I think a lot of entrepreneurs sometimes might overthink some things. I always say entrepreneurs are problem solvers, right?
Hey.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
For me, I build a business around the idea of teaching people how to connect across cultures, you know, connect effectively across cultures, you know, which led to diversity, equity, inclusion.
Right.
Accessibility, but it was that concept. I felt right. Like the problem, we don't know how to connect and we're always using limited stories to sort of paint full pictures. Those. And then, you know, you led to this investigative process of figuring out why and how to break down those barriers. But you're in love with the idea of connecting people to experiences and translating people's ideas into just magnificent events, which is a beautiful thing. But the way you broke it down, I could see how that could spawn into many experiences and experiential firms, like you just
mentioned.
But why do you feel like people don't simplify it that way? This is what I can do. This is the problem I want to solve. Let's jump into the deep end.
I You know, Tayo, and everyone's so different, but I think that the common denominator when we're getting started is breaking through, right? The idea of having that shiny object syndrome, right? I feel like every creator and every entrepreneur, we have a syndrome, don't we? And that syndrome has a lot to do with wanting everything to be perfect. Yeah. And sometimes people get so obsessed with the idea of making something perfect, or at least having the plan of execution so perfectly that they actually never start, you know? They just get kind of stuck in the shadows of the plan and the idea of what it's supposed to be, as opposed to getting the product out there versus getting the connections made versus getting the services, you know, delivered, right? People don't want to listen to the feedback, right? In the very beginning, it's the feedback and it's the criticism, right? It's one thing to have other people criticize your idea. It's another for you to have your own criticism, right?
Yeah.
And when you couple that together, a lot of people aren't willing to listen to other people's feedbacks to actually better the product or service or whatever, you know, creation you're about to birth, right? And so we stop there, you know? And I think that people like you and I, right, and many more of us, we break through that barrier, right, by giving ourselves that validation, you know, of not what we entirely always want to, you know, manifest or what we want to actually birth to life as a concept, right? But we look at it from, it's not just whether I want to start this business, it's that the world needs this business.
Yes.
Mission. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh my goodness. So first of all, I had to change my relationship with perfectionism. I remember my pivotal moment was, I was a car accident in 2012. And one of the conversations I had to have with myself was, you got to let go of this fear of failing, right? Fear of not getting it the way you want to, you know, you want to achieve it. Or maybe this imagined fear that people are going to say, well, didn't you get this degree here? You're getting embarrassed. And I'm from Nigeria. So, you know, there are a lot of eyes looking at you. And then for me, I replaced that with the fear of not being my fullest self, my highest self, you know, achieving my true potential. Because once you face that near death experience, the question that comes to mind is, well, have you done everything? Did you do what you wanted to do? And I was saying, well, I haven't done anything that I said I wanted to do. I kept pushing it off. I thought that I needed to do this before I got that. And I had a different relationship with failure. I believe it was the late Nelson Mandela. If I'm wrong, someone's going to correct me. So my favorite ancestor and my favorite inspiration, Nelson Mandela, I believe he said, you know, I never, you know, lose. I only win or learn. Right.
Right.
And it's that mindset. And you said the other thing was listen. And I think the other person we need to listen to, you know, in addition to, you know, feedback, is just ourselves. You know, sometimes we have the tools, right? You know,
right.
We have the clues in our childhood, in our past, in our traumas.
True. Many unresolved. See, we're willing to solve the problem of the world before we're willing to solve our own unresolved energies, you know? And once we're able to, resolve or at least acknowledge our unresolved energies, we start to project differently. We start to, you know, create these perspectives and perceptions of what it is that we're doing quite differently, you know? And, but no, I absolutely, I'm one with you, and I, you know, all been there, right? We've all been there where we just kind of get in our head, or we want everything to be perfect before it's actually out, you know? But when we change that perspective and we start to realize that, you know, we're the ones with that idea, we're the ones with that ability to create that idea, right? Not just see that idea. And when we start to see it as a tool to deliver for those people in need, then we're backing up our ideas with great intentions. And I mean, in my experience, and I can only speak in my experience, no purpose can fail ever if it has a great intention behind it, you know? Mm-hmm. And if we're only focusing on the outcome of everything we want, then the journey becomes quite difficult, doesn't it? But when we start to really appreciate the steps of the journey, the outcome is inevitable, right? And it's always going to pan out in the way that we visualize it, right? So that's my belief, though.
That's brilliant. So intentions, energy. You bring those two terms often, but I also know that you're big into manifesting and the idea of creating those type of experiences. Again, here's that word again, experiences.
Yes.
What is it actually? Because some people would hear that and they'll say, oh gosh, here comes Jenny with a woo stuff. what are we talking about? You tell me I can manifest an apartment now, or, you know, as my magician. But what is it? What is the misconception around this idea of intentionally creating an experience that we want to achieve?
So for me, I mean, there's obviously many different definitions of manifestation and whatnot. For me, it's just as simple as getting clear with what you want, right? And it's building a bridge between control and surrender. Yeah. So it's meeting the supernatural in the middle, right? It's meeting our universe, our God in the middle, right? It's meeting the God within you with the God external from you and being a partner, you know, to be able to create everything that you desire to create. You know, that's my definition of manifestation. It's, you know, we as humans, we tap into this survival instinct, don't we, to really want to control everything that we're, you know, capable of controlling, right? But that's not entirely when we always get what we want, is it? Sometimes when you hold so tight, it really slips through your fingers. So my whole idea of manifestation is control what you can, but you have to equally meet surrendering, right? And allow yourself to trust in the process, right? Trust in the timing, trust in the supernatural, right? Trust in the energy to be able to guide you and, you know, every plan you've ever, you know, created, right? To birth something. Yeah. You know, and the best way for me to really articulate this, Tayo, is that planning events was tangible manifestation for me, you know, because people will come to me with this idea of what they want, right? Which we all start with an idea of what we want in anything, right? And, you know, then you got to start connecting that person with the idea with the right place, the right time, the right people, right? You got to connect them to vendors and the destination and where it's all going to happen, where this magic is going to be birthed, right? And you kind of guide them through this process of like sending the right messages and, you know, visualizing this entire experience before it's even something you can touch, you know? So I went through guiding each and every client through this process that I believe, you know, we as humans that, you know, work within the law of attraction, the you know, with the universe, it's the same process, you know, it's getting clear. It's knowing what you want. It's surrendering, you know, it's problem solving all the events that fall in your lap, right? Good and bad, and experiencing magic, you know?
You describe yourself as an intuitive writer. I can see why, because we've come up with several book titles here. But this idea, this concept, the bridge between, you know, is a control and surrender. I can't get that out of my head.
Good.
Control and surrender. And you should do something with that. I don't know if a program needs to come out of that. That's probably the title of this podcast. But it's a beautiful way to put things. And, you know, as a fellow writer, writing is my favorite impression I've ever read since I was a kid. I wonder if it's the same experience for you. With writing, I almost feel my most, I don't almost, I know I feel like my most vulnerable, especially with my poetry and my spoken word. It's the idea of uncovering layers that maybe I haven't accessed with my voice, and just that reflection and putting words to those reflection in on my keyboard or on my paper or my notepad.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. But even when I'm observing, you know, if I'm taking notes from an episode, for example, or I'm watching a show and I'm figuring things out and doing research, there's ability for me to see something that might be unspoken.
Yeah.
And I can feel
Right.
That comes from writing, but I don't know if that's the same experience for you. If you're writing.
Well, Tayo, let me ask you this, because you're actually quite the intuitive yourself. You're very empathetic. You know, you can walk in a room and without knowing, you tend to heal many people around you without.
I'll take it.
No, really. I mean, and you don't even know you're doing it, you know, and but you tend to absorb a lot of energies. But writing to you is it's a relationship between you and divine, right? Your divine self. Have you ever written something and you're just kind of in the flow, right? You surrender control on like what you're supposed to write, how you're supposed to write it, the grammars, the punctuations, you just kind of surrender all the little details there, the fluff, right? Yeah. But have you ever just sat there and, you know, wrote on almost like, you know, humans call it autopilot, yeah? But to the point where you look back, right? And you read what you've written, right? And you look back and you're like, who wrote that? Yeah. No?
I have, you know, I'm in the process of writing my second book now, but I'll tell you a story. So I live in New York City, and this is pre-COVID. So I was walking down, because I write poems all the time. I'll get an idea, I'll see something or a concept, I'll hear something. I saw a painter painted something, and I was like, oh, I need to write a poem about the art of our lives. But there was one particular experience. I was going to GNC, you know, get a bar or something, I don't know, protein bar or something. And then I just had this idea to write something, and it was time for me to cross the road, but I just stood on my side and wrote in my Evernotes until I finished. I don't know what happened. I just stood there, the red light turned, the walking sign turned, and I was going on, and 20 minutes had passed or so. I was just writing and writing and writing and writing. It was getting to, you know, to winter time, and it just, I was like, I need to stay here and honor that. And I've had so many of those experiences that when I go back and read it, I was like, what the? This is, that has happened to me so many times. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's make sure you're careful, you know?
I was at my side of the road. I didn't cross it. It was right there. And then I just stayed and it looked
Oh my goodness. Okay. So you're going to love this, Tayo, because it's so, so nice to get confirmation on, you know, some of these signs or these things that happen, you know, and some people want to justify it, you know, with one way or another way. But when, for you specifically, when that happens and you look back and you're like, how did that come about? How did that concept, how did I just give a tangible, right, beating heart to a simple sign, a simple idea, right? And you allowing yourself to just be on that flow, in that flow, and just, you know, continue to write through your inspiration. That's what I call automatic writing. Yes. And automatic writing is, it's writing through consciousness, right? It's writing through your intuition. You know, and so once you know that that's something that you have a gift for, right? Then you can really use it as a power to be able to, write with intention now going forward, right? You can kind of write a question, you can write, you know, any intention that you really want, like this automatic writing experience to deliver. You start with the intention and you just kind of surrender, right? And then you'll just start birthing these beautiful words or, you know, these play of words that's going to create something that you never even knew you wanted to, you know? And it's amazing.
I do this thing to myself. So, because I give a lot of speeches these days, especially now it's virtual. It's like, oh, can you do it this time? You do this.
Of course.
And at the time of recording this, we're in Black History Month. But so just for context, when the episode comes out, and people are like, wait, it is Black History Month. But it's Black History every day, folks.
Every goddamn day, baby. Always, always.
But you know, there'll be times where someone will ask me, reach out, hey, we saw a talk you did, or you like your book, or listen to your podcast. Do you think you could do this? And I haven't thought of what I'm going to say or write. And maybe it's a few weeks out, and I say, oh, yeah, I have an idea. And it's something that I placed somewhere in my brain, and I was playing around with, and then, you know, the, you know, going to flow, I was like, oh, it was meant to be this call. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it in 3. Mm. And I wouldn't know what I'm going to write, but I'll know at one particular moment. I don't know, it could be in the middle of the day or late at night, I wake up and I'm like, ah, I got it. And it just flows. Now, I don't always recommend this for everyone, but I have a level of I have a level of trust with myself now that I didn't.
Right.
Because before I would have been panicking.
Yep.
And then now, you know, even when it's a few days out, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Yeah, it's gonna come.
And look at you!
But I had to trust myself because I used to, you know, I have anxiety, and so I used to think about that, and I was like, what did I do? Why did I say yes? And then I was like,
right,
it's okay. It's going to happen.
but see, that's where control bridges surrender.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But we strengthen the side of surrendering when we practice the art of resilience, right? When resilience, so people feel so entitled to not have problems. I love problems, you know.
You can cuss on the podcast.
I was like, I love problems. No, I really do, Tayo. Like problems, you know, I call them, you know, it's like we seek these challenges, right? Because it's these challenges that build layer after layer, right? This energy of resilience. And it's the resilience that gives you the conviction, not even confidence at this point. It's like with that much resilience, looking back and appreciating that journey, you're able to build the conviction of what you're capable of, right? And when you're able to wear the cape of, you know, that resilience, it doesn't matter whether it's the night before, whether it's the morning of, whether it's, you know, an hour before, right? You just trust in yourself to allow the timing of that process to just be what it's supposed to be, you know? And for any reason, it doesn't work out with you, like, you know, through your expectations, then you birth another layer of, you know, knowledge, right? Or something that builds another armor of resilience. So it's just a perpetual cycle of only good if you continue to match the energy of control and surrender.
I'm serious. You need to do something with this. The bridge between.
Because I think I will.
It is so beautifully apt, right, to what's happening right now. You know, with COVID, you know, I remember a lot, you're in the events business, so I'm sure you felt this more than most. But a lot of times, I remember, you know, I was getting ready to do my book tour and all these things, and then there were friends who were in the middle of all these other situations that all of a sudden couldn't do anything, and you just had to find a way to let go of the whatever control you were used to having and surrender to what would happen. And you adjusted, right? You shifted into multiple ways, but that doesn't come if you don't take that walk across the bridge, right? So it's
that's
right? Yeah, you gotta be a little poetic with this.
No, that's Tyler, that's absolutely what it is, right? Like, that's exactly what it is. And I feel like I'm not even on off the bridge yet, right? Like, you know, I went from, again, like 11, 12 years of being an entrepreneur, right? Just sitting here building my companies, producing events, solving problems, being creative, you know, and once I mastered one thing, I wanted to start a new thing to master. And that was my addiction. That was my obsession. And then of course, when the pandemic happened, you know, I saw a lot of the people fall. I saw a lot of caterers and, you know, whomever, venues and everyone just like, you know, fall off the cliff, you know? But it's one way to see it as that, or it's another way to just be like, hey, it is what it is. We need to pivot, right? And so that's how I got into TikTok. And that's how I, you know, just started to invest in putting myself, my entire self, on the front, you know, of the marketing plan. And it grew pretty quick, you know, I can't complain about it. But
hey, you know, folks, she's a dynamic personality. You got to check her out on social media. So her Instagram and TikTok are going to keep you cracking up, but you're also going to be getting a lot of knowledge in terms of just how to be yourself. I also started, I had TikTok before, but I started using it more during the pandemic, and you know, I'm a goofy person. So I'm not apologizing for what you're about to see. But
of course not. Oh my God. I'm gonna have to check you out.
Yeah, no, I'm on TikTok, but you blew up. So please tell us what are the things that you've noticed, especially for people who are trying to get into social media, but trying to influence people and build a brand. What are some things that you can share in terms of real building a consistent, authentic brand?
So, and I'll be honest, Tayo, my advice is not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. But it's going to be for the mass majority. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm actually, they call me the anti-influencer that's an influencer, you know? just because, you know, I'm not crazy about a lot of these influencers out there, you know, I'm just really not it's become a template. It's starting to look and feel like a template at this point. Nowadays, anyone can be an influencer, you know, but the common denominator that I've actually seen throughout this whole process is that if you have an opportunity, right, if you got the right tools, and you have something to say, right? Don't look at your phone as something that you see yourself in. Look at your phone as a microphone, you know, because that's what it is, you know, just because there's all these different cameras for every other, you know, Apple version, you know, doesn't mean that it's a mirror. It's really just a phone. It's a microphone, right? So I think that perception wise, if we look at, you know, our tools as something that we can talk through, right, and kind of get a message across, it could do some really good things, right? But again, you know, I used to hire influencers for my events. I was never really like the one that wanted to kind of be out there per se. I mean, I knew that I was going to be out there. I just didn't know, you know, it would be this soon. My journey has just been really intense. I started TikTok, and I started doing just the, you know, trends and whatnot. But I was doing it in my own way. And like at the time there wasn't the ability to be able to really kind of speak through the phone or anything like that. It was just kind of doing a lot of different voice recordings. So I did a lot of trends, and then they kind of opened up some features that really worked in my benefit. And I started to do it, you know, people started to react, and people were kind of becoming obsessed with like my reaction to men and
men.
and I'm very unfiltered. This is, I mean, you know, I'll be driving and I'll see someone very handsome and I'll be like, God damn, that is good looking. Oh, politically. And so long story short, it kind of just started to spiral from there. And then I started to kind of make these posts on like tarot readings and, you know, kind of bring in some spiritual touch, right? Spiritual kind of unapologetic voice to the spiritual community. And I want to say, Taya, within like 4.5 months, about 5.5 months, I just remember I was at 80,000 followers, and then I skyrocketed to about 450. Dang. And then it went from 450 to about 1.2 million in maybe like, I don't know, a month and a half. I got banned, and that was this whole thing. My fans kind of went crazy. They were like tagging. Yeah, it was cool. It was so cool though. They really defended me. I mean, to see the community kind of get together and like, you know, really kind of go after TikTok, and they're like, no, this is not someone you want to get rid of, was really rewarding. But my biggest and my only tip, I think, is tapping into the influential world, right? It's not competitive. Is it saturated? Yes. Are there a lot of lookalikes? Are there a lot of templates? Abso-fucking-lutely. But the way to stand out is to do it in reverse. Do the hardest part first, which is putting all of you, everything about your persona, your personality, your quirks, you know? But if you laugh in a very interesting way, put that out there, right? Yes. You know, if you have a very expansive way of thinking, if you have a very wise soul, if you have a lot to say, you know, if you dance in your own very creative way, whatever you think is your biggest flaw, I would say use that as your first advantage, you know, and say all the things that you are always holding in and do it in reverse, because the hardest part is starting to be an influencer, being entirely yourself. You know, it's kind of like in business, right? Set your value as high as you can in the beginning, because you're not going to go lower from that number. You're only going to go higher, right? So it's like the average event planner, when I started the company, the average event planner was charging like $4,500 for like a partial event experience. When I started, my partial was at 8,500. And every year after I solve more problems and more problems, I raise my value by like $10,000, to the point where within 7 years of my company, I was charging $40,000 to plan someone's event, you know? Mm-hmm. And that all came down to never setting your value at the very average, always set it for higher. And every time you solve more problems and gain more experiences and learn new knowledge, just keep going up from there, right? That's the hardest thing to do, is setting that value of worth. But from an influential standpoint, it's the same concept, right? Set that value of who you are from the beginning, because you can't take away who you are. You can only grow, you can only transform, you can only evolve from who you are, right? But there's so many people that are doing it reversed, right, Taya?
They
get into being an influencer, not showing who they are within the first 3 years, and then they try a little bit, and then they get backlash.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa, that's not you, you're out of character. That's not you, that's not how you speak, right? Exactly. And then it's like, you can't get through that net anymore when people already start to define who you appear to be, not actually who you are.
Don't give people that power, right?
Hey!
Yeah. And you know, the idea of you is an evolving concept, but it is something that every one of us need to tune into, right? It's a frequency to tune into. You know, values sometimes might change with more information, but that authenticity, when you reveal it, is better than, you know, when it comes as a surprise, or when you let other people dictate you, right?
Right.
And you have no foundation, you know, because if you consistently show up as a template, and you consistently, you know, put a filter instead of a mirror that's raw,
Right.
What's going on? I'm not, you know, look, you can use, I'm not talking about people using it. You can use
no,
it.
But right.
I'm talking about filter in the metaphorical sense. But it's because I don't want anyone to say, diet, just filter, to filter shaming. But no, I'm saying when you filter out aspects of yourself that really take away from who you could be, I mean, it might get you the money and everything that you want initially, but you're going to fill that void eventually.
Absolutely. And it's, and you might as well put your most natural self out there on the line first, because that is who you're going to attract, right? Like, I love my fans. I'll be honest with you guys. I do believe that I have the greatest fans in the world. I personally, and I'll say that prior to the day I die. And the reason I say that is because my fans are, unapologetic. They got a dirty mouth. You know, or they got a polarizing personality. They got a great sense of humor. And maybe not all my fans are comfortable enough to live it through themselves. But the fact that they can live it through me shows that. And I got all these people that are like, "You're so funny," and I look at them, I'm like, "God, well, you got a great sense of humor," because there's a whole world out there, you know, that is so afraid to like this kind of sense of humor, or at least, you know, feel comfortable with that sense of humor. So you must be so comfortable with your sexuality, with your sensuality, with,
right,
you know what I mean?
The world is, there are many systems in the world that constantly is trying to strip you of
who
you know, this is why I got into, you know, the line of work I'm in, which is, you know, fighting systems of oppression. And, you know, growing up the way I did, grew up in two military dictatorships, but I also grew up, in five countries and four continents, you just see that there are many people who feel like they should be something. They're supposed to be something. Well, that's supposed to syndrome, as opposed to be, you know, who they truly are. And
right,
that little gap there, you know, when you realize that, whether it's on your deathbed or maybe in your 70s, you're like, you know, I used to like doing that.
Right.
I'm so glad that you're doing that. Don't ever let anyone do that. The money is not. You know, you always hear people say it in different ways. Even entertainers or actors, you know, there were so many roles I wanted to do, but I felt like I needed to do that. And I'm always trying to let people know that what might seem as the shiny object right now isn't always going to have that shine years down the line. In fact, it might be gold-plated or silver-plated, not authentic. And then what are you going to do when it starts peeling off and you see the rust? You know, that just came out of nowhere. I don't know where that came out of.
But you know what? No matter the shade.
Yes.
No matter the details, right?
Yeah.
You're always going to find someone that's going to appreciate that.
Yes.
That about you, that about this, right? And I think that the best way to go about all of this is just to be as open-minded as possible, because once you get into the world of influence, you're not going to just influence on one thing. And if that's your plan, it's going to be a fucking short run. I'll be honest, right?
Short run.
You know, it's going to be, you'll be a sprinter on this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
This is no marathons here. You're not going to
be. That's what I mean, Tayo, right? And we're all just trying to be a long distance runner at the end of the day, right? We want to go the distance. And if we want to go a distance, when we want to go in the distance, right, as an influencer, it's to keep an open mind to influence, not just on one thing, but many things. Because you as a human will evolve. You will change. You will have different interests. Yeah. You will solve different types of problems that will be beneficial for different people. Right.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think that's probably the most important thing. It's like, get very clear with who you are, because those are the people you'll magnet into your life, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing I love about your way to influence people is you truly invest in these relationships. Cause I've seen some of your questions and answers with fans, and, you know, I'll compare it with others. You know, you call them, you do it, you go, you know, whatever it is, you're giving them compliments, you're actually engaging, you're listening. It's not a canned answer. You know, people feel heard, right? And that is why if you get banned on TikTok, they're going to be like, wait, what? That's not happening. Right. You're not going to take her off, right? Because they right. know, right? There's that level of authenticity there. And some people are afraid to have that relationship with I guess, quote unquote, strangers yeah. is what they say. I would hear they'll say, I don't want
right.
to, you know, engage so much because you never know who this is, right? You have people with different fears. But I think you do it in a way where it's not like you're revealing your address or your private things, but you are still real though. And you're
right.
listening and saying, right. this is what I've gotten. And you show sides of yourself, but I feel like you have boundaries as well.
Yeah. And I appreciate your observation on that too, because I do pride myself in this concept, which is, it's not so much about how many people quote unquote follow me, right? Because I've gained probably 500,000 followers that follow me just based on spirituality. And right. then I have gained another 500,000 just because I'm simping on men, you know? So, yeah. right?
Simping on men.
You know, it's like, so my target audience is all over the place. But what I'll say is that I pride myself more so in, you know, realizing that I'm creating, but I'm also being created.
Yes.
Right. Like, yes, I'm creating the content. I'm creating the words. I'm creating the energy that is attracting. Right. But who I'm attracting is creating me. And so when I think about the people that are behind my social platforms, I think about every single person that is responsible for helping me become who I'm becoming, right? And if that be the case, you can't treat them like numbers, and you certainly can't treat them like, you know, a bunch of robots that just send affirmations every day, good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. What I don't do though, is I don't give life to any negative affirmation, because we don't need more of that, right? We don't need to perpetuate rewarding negative behavior. We can only perpetuate the rewards of acknowledging positive behavior, positive affirmations from those that look up to you, right? Or just want to simply love you, you know? And, I remind my followers all the time when I go live, I'm like, listen, you guys are the ones creating me. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget everyone that you're following that you're responsible for creating, you know? Yeah. That's why I'm so big on, like, be careful with who you're following. Be careful with the energy that you are automatically getting a dose of every single day. Are they bringing you value? Are they, for some reason, is their energy making you feel more empowered, more alive, you know, more beautiful, right? Or are they robbing you of your energy? You know, are they making it feel so unattainable? Are they making it feel so unrelatable, right? Untouchable. Those are the influencers that you need to stray away from. Just cut them off. Right? Because an influence is not something that you can't touch, right? Like, I'm not afraid of my fans finding me. You know, in fact, I had a fan, like, I was out on my balcony in my house once, and some guy was walking his dog. He's like, I fucking love you. And that was the first time he like knew where I lived, you know?
Yeah.
And yet I was, because the reward of acknowledging the people that are creating you is so much bigger. It's so much more rewarding, right? Than this hypothetical fear of someone finding you.
Love that.
You know?
Creating while being created.
Yeah.
Bars. That's what you said. Well, no, this has been magic though. So someone listening is wondering how they can connect with you. What are the things you're up to? So where can they find you? What are things that you offer, and how can people, you know, build that relationship further with you?
Yeah. So I do a lot of perspective coaching, mindset coaching, heart set, soul set coaching on Patreon and YouTube. So a lot of my YouTube videos, you can find kind of glimpse of, you know, my coaching sessions, and then it kind of evolves into my Patreon channel, right? Where you can subscribe for whatever type of coaching best resonates with you. So I have a channel specifically for business coaching. I have one specific for love coaching. And then also one just for spirituality. So you can find me on Patreon. I am Jenny Chang. And then my social media, it's kind of all over the place, but my Instagram is Jenny Chang Gang, And my TikTok is I am Jenny Chang.
All right. We'll make sure we put that in the show notes. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what the listeners can learn from you.
But yes.
I can't let you go without this. This is my final question. And it's always,
okay.
It's always my mission statement reframed as a question. And it is, use your difference to make a difference. So how do you, Jenny, use your difference to make a difference?
How do I use my difference to make a difference? I use my difference to wake up as many indifferent people as possible, right? So, let me say that again. I use my difference to normalize being different.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
What do you think? What do you think about that, Taya?
I think that is, it's the reason for use your difference to make a difference. You know?
I mean, I mean, when we put out someone that is, you know, so comfortable being different, yeah. Right? We can only, and when we shine that, when we put a spotlight on that, then it'll only, you know, unveil, right, many other people to live differently and normalize being different. And finding that as a treasure as opposed to a default, right? So I think that's my, that's what I'm channeling. I think that's the answer for that one.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Tayo.
My pleasure's mine. Kings, queens, and royalty, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.